Recording is on.
All right, so good morning or good afternoon for people in different parts of the world. So welcome to this week's W3C CCG meeting. Today we are very happy to have Lucy to present on the topic of digital trust infrastructure for discovery and validation, or Reggie Trust. So before we get there, I just want to do a couple quick call of ethics and professional conduct reminders. So more or less just make sure that, you know, we are respectful to each other and, you know, make sure that we acknowledge different perspectives. A quick IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributions to any CCG work items must be member of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. Make sure you have the W3C account, and you have any questions or troubles, let us know. We do have a standing ticket to update the CCG, W3C CCG website, so that's still on the to-do list. Hopefully we can kind of update that in the next month or two. All right, a quick call notes. These meetings are being recorded, and there will be meeting minutes published. They're all automatically transcribed, and we will publish the meeting minutes in the next few days. We use CC Chat to queue speakers during the call. So you can type in Q plus to add yourself to the queue, Q minus to remove, and then a Q question mark to see who's in the queue. All right, quick introductions and reintroductions. If you're new to the W3C CCG community, or if you haven't been active and you're coming back, can you just unmute and introduce or reintroduce yourself?
Sure. My name is John Walker, and I have participated in CCG before. Haven't been active in a while, but I'm here to work with Lucy Yang and talk. We have a presentation later in the meeting.
Welcome back, John. Any other introductions or reintroductions? All right, next, any announcements? Or reminders. So last time we talked about if there's any topics in regards to the intersection of AI and identity that people are interested in. Actually, last time people mentioned that they would be interested to hear talks and presentation in regards to the intersection of AI and AI and identity. So if you know any speakers or anyone that could actually present on these topics, just let any of the co-chairs know, and then we'll proceed to invite them and add them to the content calendar. And if there's any presentations in the last IIW a few weeks back that you think would be interesting to our audience, please let us know too. Any other announcements and reminders? All right, any updates on the work items? So I see there is a email thread around the rendering methods. So I will send the email to Manu and Dimitri to see if they could actually present on the rendering methods, the problem statement, you know, the proposed solutions and things like that later this week. All right, anything else? Cool. So let's get to the main agenda. So this week, we have Lucy and John, to come here and present on digital trust infrastructure for discovery and validations, or Reggie Trust. So Reggie Trust is a UN development program initiative that uses the domain name system to facilitate the discovery and validation of trusted digital services. So I'll let them go into that more. So welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Harrison, for having me. So hope everyone can see me on the screen, so you know who is talking behind the camera. Thanks for having me. And this presentation I did it once at IW a few weeks ago. So I'm gonna give that presentation, mostly kind of the same presentation again here. But before I get there and share my screen, I just wanted to kind of introduce the context a little bit more. Some of you may know me through the COVID Credentials Initiative. That's how kind of I initially, got deeper into the decentralized identity community. And so this project, so John and I, and also actually Khalil was also part of it when we were all at the Linux Foundation supporting COVID credential projects. And this project was initially started at Linux Foundation and was incubated there. And that was 2021. And then 2022, as we were building the technology infrastructure, we realized there are a lot of governance and conversations that need to happen for us to keep building technology. So we start looking for host work nations who can help us on the governance side. And luckily we got the kind of support from United Nations Development Program. That's how we moved from Linux Foundation to UNDP in summer 2022. And the project has been since then being developed there at UNDP. So, and a lot of the use cases and the use cases we have been focusing on is more on the COVID credentials and health credentials side, but the infrastructure itself, it's certainly, have broader use, and particularly how many, I think I've been on a few of the calls where we talk about how, there are different trust ecosystem and different trust lists and how these things kind of interoperate, especially from a kind of a governance or trust point of view. So that's kind of the key issue we're trying to address. I'll get more into there. And so currently John and I are the two of us, we are consultants at UNDP. So that's kind of one hat I'm wearing. And also some of you also may know me in business partnership with Kalia's, our consulting firm, which is separate from this initiative. So just with this context, so I'm a business person. So my main role in the project is just really, just making sure we're developing the infrastructure in a way that I can actually solve real world problems, especially some of the problems we already know today, as well as bringing the right partners into the conversation. And John, I'm glad to have John here. So he is our technical lead. So my presentation was mostly focusing on kind of a high level, on the business and technology side. And then I know many of you are pretty technical here. So if any further technical questions, then John's here to answer and support these questions. So without further ado, let me share my screen. Can everyone see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, great. So it's a Google Doc, so I'm gonna keep scrolling down. So yes, as Harrison mentioned, the project now is called Digital Trust Infrastructure for Discovery and Validation. So we're trying to develop a global infrastructure to discover any kind of trust services, whichever kind of ecosystem you're part of, by using universally accessible internet infrastructure. And that's what very important, especially at the United Nations, because we also through our experience with COVID, because a lot of countries are not in the position or don't have a well developed technology infrastructure. So when we're developing this, we kept that in mind. So how we can leverage what we already have and make it easy for anyone to be able to join a global level ecosystem or global level, to be able to leverage a global trust infrastructure. So as mentioned earlier, the project was initially started in Linux Foundation called the Global COVID-19 Certificate Network. The goal is pretty much then was to address interoperability challenges between the existing COVID-19 certificate ecosystem. You probably use one of them. If you're in the EU, there's the EU, ecosystem. There's in North America, there's Vaccine Credential Initiative, which is a kind of a public, which is kind of like a consortium that involves public sector and both public sector and private sector. And there are other ecosystem networks kind of in different parts of the world. So our kind of main stakeholders and partners, when we're at Linux Foundation and even now today, are those who have had those infrastructure in place. And currently they're certainly going beyond just like focusing on COVID, but more like in immunization certificates and health credentials when it comes to cross-border scenarios. And so when we transitioned to UNDP, we're now under the health kind of group at UNDP. And our first kind of mandate is just really support WHO, who was just started with a pilot with G20 countries to establish a global trust network for COVID certificates, and now also expanding beyond that kind of one use case. And at the same time, like we're aware that there are other kind of use cases. For example, I've heard of educational credentials. I've heard of and trade credentials. All like different like silo ecosystem from like, how having their own trusted kind of have their own kind of trustless where their governance. How these when credentials are crossing ecosystem, not even necessarily crossing borders, just crossing ecosystem. How to deal with it, how to kind of like being able to build trust, even first to find out who is out there and also build trust before any verification can happen. So that's kind of the issue that exists across use cases. So what we're trying to do is just really to develop a suite of tools to enable kind of scalable, kind of what we have in mind, how we can have a network of networks, right? Kind of a meta network that can facilitate the different trust ecosystem in terms of like discovering them, validating them, and the using existing infrastructure. The particular one we're using now is it's a domain name system and a security extension. So that's, okay. Oh, just before I introduce more, I just want to make clear. So today's presentation, it is a presentation we developed like as part of the project. But anything, we're not representing like United Nations Development Program today. So just kind of like dive a little bit more into like the particular problem space we're in. I think if you've been working in the credential space for some time, you probably kind of have understanding of different type of interoperability we're talking about. And at least my experience in COVID is the ultimate goal we want to reach is when the credential coming from one ecosystem to another ecosystem, like the verifier will be able to recognize and exchange data. And it was like the semantic interoperability, being able to recognize and exchange the data in a meaningful way by having the knowledge of data processing and data usage context, and preserving privacy, right? But at the end of the day, one ecosystem should be able to understand like what they're actually verifying, what is the context of that. So that's kind of like the goal we're trying to achieve when it comes to credential verification. And to achieve that, there are so many layers that needs to be addressed for that semantic interoperability to be in place. And my experience with COVID is mostly because it's a very urgent issue. So the countries where existing networks were mostly focusing on kind of technical side, like how being able to technically access, like the keys, and knowing like what the data model of, what data model, what schemas, the signature, the keys, figuring out the technical side of things and just really, and getting public keys from different places and then have a list of that they can use to access and verify. So that's kind of like a quick way of solving the problem at the time. But many who have been working on the issue realize there are more than just like technical interoperability, especially when it comes to different countries and different jurisdictions have different rules regarding, you know, issuing credentials and verifying credentials, right? When it's one thing just to get a public key, but the other from a country, but it's another thing just really understand what, when they're using that public key to verify your credential, what that actually is, right? But that kind of like, you know, the trust building part of, it didn't happen a lot because just there are a lot of things that governments were, whoever issuing and verifying had to deal with, and also what probably many of you have noticed, like during COVID, there's just so many people who are now out there issuing, and you don't know who's out there. It's not like that easy as you know. There are certain authorities within a country that issue passports. Like, you know who to go and you know who, you know, there's a definite number of, a number of entities with authorities who are issuing certain credentials, but that's not the case, like, in COVID. And also that's probably not the case in education credential space either, right? Like, there's so many different parties who are issuing. So just even figuring out who are issuing, credentials are hard. So the problem we're trying to solve is like when someone needs to verify, or when a verification needs to kind of know who they can trust in the first place, they first need to know who is out there. And second, just being able to access and evaluate trusted information about issuer or about a kind of issuing the ecosystem and to make sure they can actually trust that ecosystem or trust that issuer before any verification can happen. So that's the discoverability and trust interoperability, kind of that two areas are like, we think is an emerging problem space that was not, that haven't been dealt and, haven't been discussed much, or also haven't been dealt, with much. So this is like the area we're particularly focusing on. Not that technical interoperability is not important. It is important, but we feel like this is like an area, like a lot of people have already been working on. So this is. I'm not following the chat of anything in the chat. I'm not able to address now. Let's just see. Okay. Nothing in the chat now. Okay. So just very, very quickly, how we came up with kind of like the model, the network model we're using now. And we evaluated like the two kind of main attempts were two models that were in the market, were, you know, existing models of trust building. And so the first one is, all these examples are still kind of from our COVID experience. And so the first one is, so we've seen countries and different ecosystems, they have to work kind of bilaterally to exchange keys. And also to exchange keys and also have like mutual policy agreements if that's what's needed, particularly for jurisdictions and countries. So there were a lot of duplicated efforts, and also like very poor user experience when it comes to, because everything is kind of manual, is kind of agreed mutually, and also manually downloading and getting keys and getting other related information. And if you're doing manual downloading, when someone is updating the keys or updating any information, that thing won't happen, you know, or like the party who have manually downloaded those information need actually to go back and get updated information again. So just in general, this is not, a scalable, approach. Another approach that, we look at and also like dive into is, it's just bring everything to one giant platform. This is really hard because one thing we mentioned earlier is there's a growing number of like ecosystems and issuers that are issuing credentials, and just really, really just there's no end to, you know, what, how, no end to like bringing, you have no idea how many parties you have to bring in onto a centralized like federation services. And especially when it comes to like nation states that have their own, that want their own autonomy and they want their own sovereignty. They don't want to kind of conform to one set of like standards and policies, and also don't want to have everything onto like centralized services. And it's just going to get really, really complicated, both from a technical and from a policy point of view. And also here, we're not only talking about just giving, you know, having public keys into one centralized service, but also like the metadata, the revocation data and business rules data and potentially other things that, that is required for kind of verifications. So this, and also like even trying to find an operational entity that, you know, define all these and provide all these services, it's really, really hard. So we don't think that this model could work. So the third one we're showing here is pretty much how we're still like it's a federation model, but it's a decentralized federation model that allows ecosystem to operate under different technical and policy framework, but at the same time still being able to participate in a global ecosystem. So essentially what happens is instead of giving their data to a centralized ecosystem, giving their data to a centralized service, so each existing network or ecosystem, they need to build a profile that includes like some basic and metadata information about themselves. For example, like you, who is operator of their network and what the credentials they're issuing. There could be, you know, there's a set of metadata that can be defined by the platform itself, but just the idea is like each ecosystem can come and build their own profile that includes some information and also pointers to their existing systems so they don't have to kind of submit all the data into a centralized platform. But at the same time, because our platform is using DNS and DNS security and DNSSEC. So when the profile is established, being signed, we're making sure that whoever are using the platform that Discover, for example, Discover EU, they will be pointed to information. They will be looking at vetted information that will be pointed to the endpoints that actually are provided and guaranteed, you know, provided by the EU and guarantee that they're actually going to the place that they think they're going to. So that's kind of like the decentralized federated platform won't be dictating or won't be controlling how each profile or how each ecosystem that participated on the platform, what technical policies they should have, what governance they should have. So it's more like a way of enabling as many parties to participate and at a meta level as possible, but it's at the same time, not asking them to lose their autonomy or to change their existing governance, because that's just super, super hard, especially when it comes to nation states. And then like the verification services, whoever are providing verification services, whether your country or you are just a network where you can use access the decentralized federated platform and discover all like the profiles are listed there and then like look into them and decide who you're going to trust. And at the end of the day, you can choose, you know, you can pick, oh, these are the few people, the ecosystem, like I would trust and, you know, I would trust their credentials. And you can actually download whatever your need is, selectively download the information that is needed to your own backend server. And then and then your verifier applications, whatever verifier apps that you're providing can actually access like your own backend server. Your own backend server and then getting the keys and whatever needed were being pointed directly to the ecosystem instead of like, you know, everything is going to the centralized platform. So I'm hoping that I'm providing enough high level so you can dig more into on the technical side if you want after the presentation. So in terms of like how, the use case we were addressing was mostly at the global level, but doesn't necessarily have to be at a global level. For example, if I'm based in Canada, right? If like the each provinces are in charge of like their its own like healthcare system. So if like at the country level, there needs some kind of coordination among these provinces in regarding health credentials or whatever other credentials, there could be like our model can be applied. So essentially it's a network of networks model, like at multiple levels, at whatever level that makes sense to implement her. So that can work. here we're showing like a kind of a high level kind of infrastructure picture. So there's when you're looking at the network registry, so we're not only at the meta level, so we can also enable whichever participant who wants to use our infrastructure. It's pretty much a layered infrastructure that can be applied at different levels. But at the end of the day is, and the meta level is what at least it's something that is the decentralized federation where that happens. So we're looking at in different kind of like scenarios where, for example, like in that enables intergovernmental organizations to implement and operate this, and that can facilitate the interoperability among the different digital ecosystem and services across borders. And also we're looking at governments and work nations at large to participate in the ecosystem. If you don't run anything, if you want, I run an existing ecosystem. I want to look at which existing kind of meta network I can participate. Just you can look at where you can build your profiles, right? So that could be, you know, at different levels. And kind of the third thing we're looking at is like consumers, like both as individuals, work nations will be able to easily discover what is out there. Right, you can probably we're imagining different kind of like network of networks. Right, it could be one, like for health credentials and global level. There are probably ones that are like at the country level that can also participate in a global level. So it's all kind of layered approach. At the same time, there could be, you know, education credentials like network, which is a separate thing, from health. So that we're gonna see a lot of like this networks and also network of networks that are kind of interacting. But essentially, like the motto is whoever are running their own ecosystem should not need to actually change their policies and, you know, technical infrastructure to be able to interoperate at a kind of broader level. So essentially, I mean, this is already touching upon kind of governance and operations. So we're not intending defining for anyone who wanted to run a network of network, but essentially we're looking at kind of three steps on each side. So on the participating side, we're looking at there's an application process to become a participant at the network of a network of networks, and then like the participant needs to get vetted, and then like their profile getting published, and then what that means that participant will be able to be discovered. And then on the user side, we're verifier side. Yes, discovering who is on the network is the first step. And then by evaluating the information, the profile of a participant and the verification service can decide, okay, am I going to trust that person? Am I going to trust that ecosystem? I'm going to trust the issuers from that ecosystem. And if they do, they can actually use our infrastructure to add that participant into their own trust list. And then when it comes to like verifier apps that are using the verification services, they can access that service and verify incoming certificates from the participants. So that's kind of like the three steps on each side we're imagining. And governance is a very, very important piece in this. So we just concluded a governance consultation. We will be sharing a report again in a week or so that touch upon what are the key requirements that a meta network level governance needs to meet, even if we're saying that there's, you know, we're not each of the participants, their governance we're not touching upon, but there still needs to be solid, good governance at the meta level for any users of a network and network to have confidence in the service that they're accessing. So these are like kind of, so yeah, we touch upon a lot of like what the vetting process should be, right? How to do benchmarking of existing ecosystem or networks who are potential participants of a network to see how we can develop kind of different kind of levels of assurance. So, and provide the information to verifiers. So it's easy for them to make trust decisions when they're using a network of network. So these are some of the governance questions we talked about, and which, you know, we will share more soon like the full kind of like summary of all like the questions we touch upon. But governance is very, very important and also like a very, very complicated topic. When we're trying to bring like different parties who have their own, you know, different ways of doing things together. So lastly, what I'm going to share about, I'm going to just quickly share about like where we are. So we have already completed like the technical development of the basic infrastructure, which means like the basic functionalities of applying, submitting an application and being published and using and discovering a participant. That kind of basic functionality is already there. So currently we are in the process of working with a few networks on demonstrating that and also identifying what are like the metadata that needs to be to build a profile. So that's still focusing more on like the networks who have existing infrastructures from the COVID world, but now expanding into like beyond COVID. And so that's kind of where the technical side is. And we're also like hoping to build kind of more of a sandbox environment where more and more people can actually, you know, use that. And so this deck, I will share the link that also you will access like our existing, the technical specification and as well as the GitHub where we have all our, you know, code and stuff open sourced. And on the governance side, so we completed this first round of governance and discussions, and the next round will be mostly focusing on working with some of the existing networks, for example, like ICAO and Lockchain, those who have their own governance and do some kind of benchmarking and looking at how they are avoiding their issuers and how that could be kind of also be incorporated into the high, you know, higher level, the meta network level governance. So that's, the second stage of the governance discussions. And just, yeah, let's see. So I'm gonna pause here because, I think, you know, probably some of you have technical questions. I'll have this, this is the technical kind of more technical diagram where it shows like how, you know, we're using DNS and DNSSEC to secure a chain of authenticity. And I'm going to see if any questions, you know, whether it's on the technical or in business side, we're happy to take questions.
If there's any questions, just type in Q+ to add yourself to the queue. So Mike.
Yeah, so a lot of this obviously about kind of COVID certificates, which makes sense, right? Because that was kind of the starting place and initiative for a lot of this work. I mean, do you see this as broader service discovery across other areas or possible integration into other initiatives like UNCFACT on the supply chain side of things and stuff like that?
Thank you for the question, Michael. Yes, I mean, even what the work we're doing now is not just on COVID. So WHO is coordinating this global network that is kind of taking things beyond COVID, looking at different kind of immunization certificate and health certificate. And the reason why we're still there is because it's a very, very deep, we need to get deeper, right? Whoever has existing kind of needs and thinking about it, that helps us, you know, understand better both the technical and the governance side of things, what more we need to build. But the infrastructure itself is certainly not limited. My work, as John and I, we're still part of the health group at UNDP, right? That's certainly also, kind of how we prioritize our use cases. But in general, because this is the work is in the open. So after I presented at IAW, I had a conversation with Dimitri, just looking at how this can be, you know, leveraged for educational credentials as well. I think if you're asking me, you know, if we're looking at other use cases at UNDP, we're not yet because there's a lot of, you know, deeper kind of questions we need to, or not even deeper, but just very practical things we have to solve. For example, currently we don't have, a sophisticated onboarding process. If you're thinking about, we're onboarding a participant into a meta network, those participants, those ecosystem networks already have their own participants, right? So they will ask us how they're going to onboard their participants in a way that, you know, they can just automatically, making easier for them to update their information on the meta network. So these kind of like, you know, the further down the road questions, like implementation questions, right? And also tools we need to build. So we're trying to dig more into these things, which we think are universally kind of applicable to other areas. But from a use case point of view, our work at UNDP is not branching out to those areas yet. But you know, this is like open work, right? We're building this on the train infrastructure. Probably many of you know. So like we're working very closely with the Fraunhofer team, looking at other use cases and you know, hoping to support more and more more like ecosystem or networks to kind of leverage this.
So thanks, Jose. And so referencing kind of the visual, excuse me, the graphic that's on the screen, each of those at that top level, the network registry level, right? Each of those, basically those entries point to trust lists, and those trust lists can have their own definition, right, as defined by the members of that second level network. And so there's really the opportunity to broaden into other use cases. It's really the importance is that, again, there's a common agreement about what are the properties, right, that you want to publish, right, for the discovery of your service on your network. And then the top level network is just a federated, you know, a federated list that has governance. So there's some vetting of the participants.
And also one thing I would add, so we had a really good meeting, multiple good meetings with the GANG Global Assured Identity Network people at IAW. So they're looking at similar problems, also like meta network. We validated a lot of like the things like each, you know, for each other. So just the kind of the high level idea of network. So they focus more on like the financial institutions cross border, right? Like initially for their POC, we focus more on the health credentials, but a lot of things we are based on our discussion, a lot of things we learn are very much, and also what we're thinking are pretty much aligned. And also we realize, you know, from learning each other's work that there's so much in depths in this topic that, you know, we want to, it took them probably 2 years to also kind of get the POC and, you know, summarizing and reflecting on it, right? Kind of similar to for us. So how to just really understanding, like the use cases we're working on today that will help like whatever other use cases as well.
Cool. I'm next on the queue. So my original question is like about 2 months ago, we have Isaac and Manu kind of present on lists of verifiable issuers and verifiers. So my question is whether there's an intersection between this work and that work in regards to lists of verifiers, verifiable issuers and verifiers. And then based on your last comment, I was also wanted to ask a follow-up question. In regards to, it seems like there's different initiatives trying to tackle this problem. Is this digital credential, can this digital credential be trusted, right? So my second question is, for example, this work and the Global Assurance Identity Network GAIN from the OIDF, Open ID Foundation, are there collaboration opportunities in, will there be like one governance framework, you believe, or will there be separate governance frameworks?
I'm going to try to address the high level of the first one, and John will be able to speak more to the, on the technical side. My understanding is, so that work is related, and so one thing I think they're trying to standardize is how giving a credential to an issuer that says that they're on a trust registry, right? So that's kind of like what, for example, in our scenario is once, is how an issuer, because we don't directly deal with the issuer itself. We normally deal with like the issuing kind of ecosystem, where ecosystem issuers. So how an issuer can actually just quickly prove that they're part of something is when it comes to like verification. So like pointing back right to the registry and says that we're part of that is something. And I think that's something they're trying to address. And John, you can probably speak more to the technical side of it.
Sure. So regarding the question of what Isaac and Manu presented, the list, the verifier work would be those verifiers that are have been vetted, if you will, would be listed, would be there. So one of these trust lists could have a pointer to a list of vetted verifiers, and that's how we see that coming together. The
John, you mean issuer, right? Because this the issuer is the credential.
Well, there would also be verifiers, right? It could be a list of lists, could be on this list of lists, and that's really how the structure of that. The definition of those verifiers is the work that, as I understand it, is Isaac and Manu are doing. So basically, they would, both issuer and verifier, the issuer is defined as the service provider. And if that issuer or that service requires a definition and a list of verifiers, then the pointer to those properties or the pointer to the service endpoint would also be on one of these, the trust list. That's my understanding of how that works.
Interesting. I have a little bit slightly different understanding, but Harrison, what I can say is because ASSEC is leading that work, right? So whatever they're building is going to be compatible with the train model. And right. I feel like it's more on the defining a credential that, you know, whether you are on the issuer side or verifier side, you can speak to the fact that you're on a trusted list, right? That is something that doesn't exist yet.
Yeah. And then, sorry, to my second question, Liz, then, do you think there will only be one unified? Are we trying to build one unified data governance framework, or there will be multiple?
I don't think so. So one thing we talk with Gang, so in terms of collaboration opportunity, I don't know yet, but we were very excited that we met at IAW because we get to actually learn more about each other's experience, and they approach it. So they approach their first use case differently because, you know, the existing financial institutions, they can relatively easily leverage the OIDC Federation for that kind of trust, cross ecosystem trust building, which doesn't exist in our scenario. But they were doing it more from a peer to peer point of view to begin with. But they understand that as they start to scale, they need to think about, you know, if that kind of peer to peer thing without actually a meta network could work, right? So what we did is pretty much we started off knowing that we need a meta network that allow different in existing ecosystem and network to build a profile on the meta network so they can find each other and interoperate. So these looks like kind of a different thing, but actually, you know, we're probably going to merge into some kind of similar models. One of the things we talked about is how let's look at the different use case and see if there are any, can we kind of summarize, can do better modeling, like what we're thinking about kind of a cross ecosystem kind of interoperability scenario. What are the models that could potentially, you know, solve different kind of problems? So that's something where, you know, I'm interested in learning more by following their work. But in terms of immediate kind of collaboration or not, I believe it will still be more kind of like us learning from each other and see where that kind of like synergy or collaboration would be.
Thank you. Thanks. And Phil, you're next in the queue. Phil?
All right.
Hi, Phil. We can't hear you. And can't now.
I'll read what he wrote. He's trying to ask, are we talking about using well-established TCP/IP CERC methods to find services in different provider domains, skipping the need to create a meta model semantic search front end? That's his question.
So I will try to explain at a high level. So what our understanding is, each of those existing ecosystems, they already have their own domain, right, where they host their, you know, they host their website, they host their infrastructure. So what we're doing is we, for the meta network, we set up our own environment. We have our own domain. And so that's where all like the profiles are being submitted and built. But essentially is once a profile is submitted and approved and published on our domain, and that we need to point, so we're not hosting older data or older infrastructure, right? Our infrastructure is just pointing to. So when, for example, if I find on a meta network, I find the EU COVID certificate ecosystem. So I will have like all who they are, you know, what they do, what kind of credentials they're issuing, and also their, you know, link to their public keys and a link to other things, link to their governance, link to other things. So when I'm as a potential verifier, right, and looking, discovering these services, I want to make sure when I click the link that provided, like in the profile, I'm actually being directed to actually the EU, you know, environment, which is on their own domain. So what we're like the, by saying leveraging existing domain and domain name system, that's what we meant. And by, and the additional part we have is actually having the domain and DNS security extension, which means all the profile, when they're published, we sign those profiles. So we make sure, like, when we're pointing people to a link, we're pointing them, like, there's no phishing happening in between. So this is, that's how, like, we're leveraging. So, which means, so whoever are doing their own thing, they don't have to change any of their technologies. They already have their own domain and hosting it, right? So that's pretty much for the meta network needs to set up a separate domain that can host the different profiles. I think John can speak to more, like, the technical side.
Well, I think the essence of what Lucy described is that we are taking the approach of establishing metadata or enhanced semantic metadata for network entries, and not necessarily. So we are talking about using an additional meta model per trust registry, per domain. So I'd be interested to know what Phil's suggesting for just an example of an existing TCP/IP search, a tool.
Phil, can you add to that, or you still have audio issues? All right, no problem. All right, any other questions? So I'll read Phil. Oh, never mind. All right, any other questions for Lucy and John? All right, thank you. Thanks a lot, Lucy. Thanks, John, for hopping on to do this great presentation. All right, any last, like, introductions, reintroductions, announcements, and reminders? No? Okay. All right. Just want to do a last call out again. Like, if you know any AI/identity experts, please just send us to, you know, help introduce them to the cultures, and then we can line those presentations up. So thanks a lot. Have a good one. Bye. Bob. You want to speak? Oh, never mind.
I shared the link to the deck in the chat, so you have it.
Thank you. And I'll send it to the list. Thanks a lot.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Lucy.